it's so bright, it's lovely. Thanks, Tim, that was so nice. Yeah, like Tim just said, my name is Emily. I'm a caseworker for Unseen. I'm just coming up to almost a year in Bristol and Jean. It is my very favourite place now. I absolutely love it. Come on, yeah, it's so good. And yeah, I'm super excited to be speaking this evening. I'm going to be speaking on Psalm 23. And we're going to be talking about how do we find Jesus in our moments of stress and pressure. I've spent a lot of time thinking about what kind of angle to come at this with and what sort of things to say. And if I'm honest, felt a little bit inadequate, and Toby emailed me to ask me. The evening before Toby had emailed me, I was sat in Bournemouth at the end of my mum's bed listing all of the things I was stressed about. And then the next day Toby emailed me and was like, would you like to speak on managing stress? And I was like, would you like me to speak on managing stress? I'm not so sure. But it's definitely something that I've sort of journeyed with the Lord recently, but also kind of, yeah, throughout my life. And so hopefully I've got a few things to share this evening as well. But I wanted to also recognize that as we speak about stress and pressure and difficulty, that each of us in the room will be sitting in different positions with that as well. That some of us will be in kind of these like seasonal moments of stress and pressure and difficulty. But maybe actually it's like, I've got this exam coming up. I've got this difficult time at work, or it feels kind of situational. Maybe you're sitting here today and you feel great, like you're enjoying the good weather, enjoying the sunshine. But maybe actually these feelings of stress and of difficulty feel like quite a consistent narrative in your life and feel like something that you've carried with you for quite a long time. And that can be quite hard to speak into when everybody's experience is so different and so unique and so particular. But what I was reminded of as I was preparing for this evening is that though all of that is really different, though we each sit in different positions, that the gospel remains the same, that the truth of Jesus remains the same. And so today, as we dive into the truth of Psalm 23, maybe it's a psalm that you've known for a long time, you've read it a lot of times, or maybe it's something that's completely new to you. But I really believe that it holds a lot of truth to hold on to and apply to our lives in times of stress and of pressure. So I wondered if we could just take a moment to maybe close our eyes and just be still for a second before we dive in. I'm just going to pray for us. But yeah, let's just rest for a second. Let's still our hearts and our minds and just be still. And I'm going to pray and then we're going to dive into the passage this evening. Yeah, Jesus, we welcome you in this evening. We welcome you into however we're feeling, however we've arrived to church this evening, however we've journeyed through our weeks, whether we feel really peace-filled or whether we feel a little bit on edge and stressed. God, we just pause for a second and recognize that you're here. And Jesus, I ask that you would be speaking to us. You would be speaking into our individual situations or contexts. Yeah, and that you would meet with us in each of those this evening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So yeah, we're looking at Psalm 23 this evening. And this specific psalm is written by David, who wrote this psalm. It's kind of like both a poem and a prayer, this like heartfelt outpouring of adoration to God. And Toby spoke last week about David as well. Toby was speaking about the kind of like importance of character and the fact that God values that so much above everything else, despite what the world might say. But if you know the story of David's life, you know that it wasn't always plain sailing the whole time. Like us, his life was full of both the valley and the mountaintop moments. David famously killed Goliath and went on to be Israel's king. He wrote powerful and raw psalms that kind of demonstrate his great faith and trust in God. But he also made some pretty big mistakes, had moments of great weakness, questioned God, and recognized his own flawed humanity. And in this psalm, we see David drawing on his own experience of following God through both the beautiful and the challenging moments of his life, and giving us language to work through our own situations with God. And he also gives this metaphor as God as a shepherd walking us through the difficult moments in life. And from this, we get this invitation from David to bring our lives under God's care. And so today we're going to be looking at trusting God to be with us, trusting God to guide us and trusting God to provide for us when we ourselves are walking through these moments of pressure and of stress and difficulty. So what does it mean to trust God to be with you? In verse 4, it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I'm sure we're all acutely aware that we live in a very broken world and that the Bible is full of no promises that we will have this life without a struggle or difficulty. That in fact, there are kind of these words that say, actually, we will face pressure, we will face stress, we will face difficulty. But the Lord reminds us that though we walk through those things, his promise within that is that he is with us. We hear that a lot, don't we? That God is with us all of the time. But I think it's really important to take a second to remember who is with us. What does it mean when we say that God is with us? Because what that means is present with us is the one who both suffered and conquered suffering. The one who endured the depths of suffering on the cross and yet also conquered it. So the promise of the presence of God with us is the promise of the presence of a Savior who understands your pain to the deepest level and yet holds the victory over it. And isn't that amazing that when we say that he is with us, I will fear no evil for you are with me, that this is Jesus right by our side, the one who suffered and conquered suffering, journeying through our valley moments with us. And my parents are pretty well known for quite like a stellar crisis response in moments of pain or difficulty. And a few years ago, I was going through quite a hard time when I was living in Norwich, and I basically rung them at 9 p.m. one night, and like everything that could have fallen apart had fallen apart. And I rung them just like crying and trying to explain this to them. And just without a kind of thought or without a second, I just remember vividly my mum being like, Andy, you're going to Norwich tomorrow. And just like, I was like, okay, I'm going home tomorrow. I'm just going to go home. And for me, that's always the place I run to. If anything goes wrong, go home. If anything's difficult, I just go home to be with my parents. And so I knew that my dad was coming to get me the next day to scoop me up and take me home for a bit of TLC. But if you know the distance from Bournemouth to Norwich, where my parents live, it's a pretty long way. It's about a 5 to 5.5 hour drive on a good day. And so I was like, it's fine, Dad, just like come in the afternoon, come whenever, like don't rush. Anyway, I was kind of lying in bed the next morning, and at 7 a.m. I heard this knock on my door, and it was my precious dad. And he'd got up at 2:30 in the morning. He was like, I couldn't sleep, so I just got in the car, and here I am. And he just arrived at my door and like scooped me up, and I like dragged all my suitcase into the car, and I opened the door, and like on the seat was like this blanket and this chocolate bar and this handkerchief, just like sat on the seat waiting for me. And for me, that was just this moment of I knew that's where I needed to be. Like I just knew that I needed to be with my parents. And so I went home and spent time with them, and it wasn't a quick fix. It didn't take away all of the pain or suddenly make what I was walking through feel any better in some sense, but I just knew that I was going to be okay because I was in the presence of my parents. And they are reliable, they show up, they are consistent, and I just knew that they would know what to do. And maybe you have people like that in your own life, that when pressure mounts, when life gets stressful, you turn up on their doorstep, you sit on their sofa with a cup of tea, you call them in your moment of crisis because you know that being near them, being in their presence will help things feel less overwhelming. And if we can access that in an earthly sense, how much more can we access that through the presence of Jesus? The one who has experienced suffering, but is also completely sovereign over what you are walking through. So how do we do this? How do we trust in the presence of God in our moments of pressure or of difficulty? The truth about the presence of God is that we never have to work our way into it. We don't have to meet X, Y, and Z conditions in order for God to encounter us. He's just not like that. But we do sometimes have to pause long enough to let our minds and our hearts recenter, to come back to scripture, to remember who is with us, the one who never leaves us, or even finding a quiet space to retreat to focus back on the one that is present with you. Scripture anchors us in a quite unsteady and pressurized world. And so maybe for you, that's even finding a verse that's like your anchor in these moments of difficulty to come back to repeat to yourself. As time goes on, as things get difficult, to keep reminding yourself who God is. So what does that look like for you? What are you going to grip onto in order to remind yourself of the presence of God with you in your moments of stress and of pressure? Because the truth of the gospel is that it's joyful and it's wonderful and it's peace and it's favor, but it's also this like powerful truth of a suffering savior deeply present and consistent with us in the pressurized, difficult, and stressful moments of our lives, present through it all. So if we're trusting that God is with us, the psalm also calls us to trust that God will guide us, that he will pour out his guidance over us in our moments of stress and of pressure. Because in those moments, it can be quite hard to make sense of things, to navigate our way through. But in verses 2-3, it says, he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And I don't know about you, but so often I get like so caught up in the thing that's in front of me that I forget to look up, to ask Jesus and to take a second to let his wisdom come into the situation that I'm in. My job can be a little bit high stakes at times and high pressure. It looks like working with predominantly asylum seeking clients who are seeking asylum in the UK. All of them will have been through some level of like experience of exploitation or modern slavery. And our job is basically to walk them through their rest and recovery period. So helping them access like mental health services or things to get them back on track, legal help, but also just a lot of listening, a lot of passing tissues, a lot of kind of just being present with as much of their story that they want to share with us. And if I'm honest, genuinely 99% of the time, I don't know what I'm doing and I feel super out of my depth. But recently, I've just been trying to have this practice of as I'm present, like with the client, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do next? Like, how do I help them through this thing that they're walking through? It's just shooting up this really short prayer to God. And it's pretty much just along the lines of like, Jesus, you are the best caseworker there is. Please show me what to do next. Like, please just give me your guidance in order to walk them through this difficult moment that they're in. They're short and they're simple, but they're powerful prayers to bring the presence of God and the guidance of God into that situation. And maybe you're a student, maybe you're walking through exams right now or revision or deadlines, and that's hard, like it's a pressurized time. So what does it look like to pause in your revision and to ask for wisdom from the one who gives wisdom? To ask for guidance in that moment of exams and revision and studying, to ask for the guidance of God to enter into that situation with you. Because verses 2-3 show us that God knows where we need to go next, that God knows what we need and when we need it. And David uses the metaphor of a shepherd reminding us that like a shepherd leads his sheep, God also guides and leads us. And maybe for you that is rest. Maybe right now it would be great if you could just lie beside some quiet waters and be refreshed by the Lord. Maybe for you, though, that is walking through the valley. Maybe that is actually asking God to help you actively navigate the things that you are walking through. And I love that the passage uses those words. It says walking through the valley. Asking God to be the one to guide us through the things that we are encountering. But God is our guide. He knows when we need to lie down, when we need to pause, and when we need to keep going. But sometimes that can be quite hard to see for ourselves. When we're in the thick of something difficult, sometimes we need other people to gather around us, to lift our eyes and to guide us as to what to do next. But isn't that the beauty of church? That we have this family called to stand with us in seasons of stress or of pressure and to help us walk through it. I love this story. It's in Exodus, and it talks about Moses, who at the time is leading God's people. And in this moment, suddenly God's people come under attack from another army. But Moses realizes that as he raises his hands, the army stops, and God's people, the Israelites, begin to win. But the moment his hands lower, the Israelites begin to lose. So Moses stands like on this mountaintop, and he's lifting his hands up, and he knows that if he does that, God's people will be victorious. But unsurprisingly, like after a while, Moses begins to get a little bit tired and a little bit weary. And so his friends come, they give him something to sit on, and they hold up his hands for him in order that God's people would be victorious, which they are. But I love that as a metaphor for us as church, that when we're in the valley, it gets quite tiring, it gets quite exhausting sometimes, and actually we're not built to do it on our own. Like, we're not called to do life just as one independent person. So my question is, who is holding up your hands with you in the battle that you're walking through? Who are the people around you that are keeping you going even when you're tired and you want to quit? And in church, we have these ready-made places for that. We have hubs and we have homes. We have a team here who deeply care about you and want you to feel supported. And so please reach out if that's what you need, because that is what church is built for. That when the guidance of God feels distant and feels confusing and feels murky and hazy, that there is a ready-made family here to hold up your hands and help navigate and guide you through as well with Jesus. So how do you need to trust God to guide you right now? Is it those quick moments of prayer in the midst of what you're walking through? Is it seeking out community in order for you not to feel alone in this season that you're in right now? What does that look like for you? Because we see throughout Scripture, time and time again, God leading and guiding his people in times of pressure and stress. We need to remind our hearts to look to Jesus and to surrender to his guidance. So if we're trusting God to be with us, we're trusting God to guide for us. Psalm 23 also asks us to trust God to provide for us as well. In verses 5-6, it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." And I remember for a long time finding this concept of God, like preparing a table, a bit of a strange one. But in this psalm, it's basically saying that God's provision isn't contained to this like perfect condition or situation, but that God provides right in the center of the hardship that we are facing. There's a preacher and a theologian called Charles Spurgeon, and he says this about the passage. "When a soldier is in the presence of their enemies, if they eat at all, they snatch a hasty meal, and away they hasten to the fight. But observe, you prepare a table. Just as a servant does when they unfold the cloth and display the ornaments of the feast on an ordinary, peaceful occasion. Nothing is hurried. There is no confusion, no disturbance. The enemy is at the door, and yet God prepares a table, and the Christian sits down and eats as if everything were in perfect peace. Nothing is hurried. There is no confusion. No disturbance. The enemy is at the door, and yet God prepares a table, and the Christian sits down and eats as if everything were in perfect peace." Right in the center, in the thick of the mess, in the thick of the difficulty and the pressure and the stress, God provides. God prepares a table. God pauses. God sits with us. And he pours out his provision. And the word enemy can feel quite strong, but it's basically for us right now, this like representation of any opposition that we're facing, the difficulties and the stress and the pressure that feel very real for us right now. a couple of years ago when I was back living in Norwich as well. I was living with a family and they had two little boys called Zeffy and Rafa. And Rafa was about 18 months when I lived there and Zeffy was about 3 or 4. And I absolutely loved living there. And I was going out for a run one morning and I said goodbye to them all and I like left the house, like it was beautifully sunny, a bit like this, and went for my run. And literally about 30 seconds in, I absolutely stacked it. I literally just tripped over my own feet on the pavement and just like fell onto the floor. And it was one of those moments when you know instantly that like things are not good. Like this is not going to end well. And so I kind of lay there for a while like thinking like, what's my next move? Like, what do I do here? And so I sort of sat up and this one lady walked past and was like, do you need some help? And I just played it off. I was like, no, I'm okay, I'm fine. And then looked down and basically like my whole knee was like not in a good way. My elbow was all cut up. My hip was really grazed as well. And at that moment, I just like burst into tears and just sat on the pavement and sobbed and was like, what do we do next? And then another lady came along and was like, do you need help? And I was like, yes, I'm really hurt. And she like scooped me up and was like, where do you live? Like, do we need to get you a taxi home? Like, are you okay? And I was like, that's my house. Like right there. She was like, okay. And she, I was so embarrassed. It was like, ghost town was one of the worst moments in my life. And she like walked me home and I was like, my name's Emily, by the way. And she like walks me home and I was just sobbing. And I got in the door and I just stood in the porch for like a good 5 minutes. Like, I can't go in. This is so embarrassing. And stood there. And in the end, entered in and instantly Rich was like, oh my word, what have you done? I was like, I fell over. And he like sat me down on the sofa. And I'm not very good with like blood or like, I will just throw up. Like, I just can't do it. So I was not even looking at what was going on. And Rich like got his little first aid kit and like came over and he was just like mopping up everything, putting like bandages on there for me. And Zeffy and Rafa, I remember, just stood and like didn't really know what to do with the situation, because normally like they would cry and I would give them a hug, but this time I was just weeping and they were like, what do we do here? And so whenever Zeffy hurt himself, and we had these like elephant shaped ice block things that solved everything. So Zeffy was like, we need elephant ice. So Zeffy like marches off and gets the elephant ice and like brings it back. And Rafa, he couldn't really speak at this point, so he just sort of stood there. And I remember he just like got his one finger, just like put it on my arm and just sort of stood there as if to say like, I'm here, I'm with you, don't know what to do. And later that day I came back, and because I'd fallen over so badly, like my leggings had completely ripped as well, my running leggings. And so on my bed was like this pair of leggings, like beautiful new running leggings folded up on my bed that Ruth and Richard bought me, and a bunch of flowers and some chocolate, which made me weep even more. I just wept the whole day, like on and off. I remember ringing my parents and being like, I fell over. And my mum was like, what do you want us to do? I was like, I don't know. I just need you to know. Like, I need you to know that this has happened. But the point was that I was so reluctant to accept help. I was in so much pain, like so much pain and so much shame. But the moment that I admitted my need, that I came there, I was met with provision in abundance, like above and beyond what I needed. I didn't need the new leggings, I didn't need the chocolate, it was a nice added extra, but like I was provided for above and beyond what I needed. And in that moment of difficulty and of pain, I was given exactly what I needed to keep going. So my question to you is, will you surrender to his provision? Will you let God in? Because we can hear all of this, that the provision of God is there and the presence of God is there and the guidance of God is there. But for me anyway, sometimes the surrender is the most difficult part of the process. Like when I fell over on my run, for so long I resisted help. Like the first lady that came by, I told her I was absolutely fine. When I walked into the house, I just stood for a good 5 minutes because I didn't want to admit that I'd hurt myself on my run. But what happened when I did? What happened when I surrendered, when I admitted that I needed help to walk through the pain that I was feeling? I was met with the provision that I needed. And if the offering of the gospel is a God who is provider right in the center of the pressure, will we be vulnerable enough to let him in? What does that look like in your situation to surrender to God, to be vulnerable enough to admit that you need him? Maybe for you right now, that looks like praying upon waking before the day sweeps you up and admitting your need for him. Maybe it's like those quick silent prayers throughout the day at your desk. Maybe it's specifically naming the things that are causing you stress and what you need and listing them out before God in your journal. Maybe it's asking for his strength to actually ask for some help and trusting for his provision on the other side of that request. I also think that sometimes provision looks a little bit different to how we expect it to. And we might see provision in David's case as that would have been God lifting him out. Like, you didn't have to walk through the valley. The Lord just takes him out and puts him on the mountaintop on the other side. But instead, God is provider within that. It's unexpected. It's different. It's maybe not what David quite thought was going to happen, but it was provision in abundance all the same. And so maybe for you, this is an opportunity to look at your situation and to ask God to help you to look for the ways in which he might be providing in ways that are different to how you expected. I think sometimes the provision of God isn't the get out or the way out. Sometimes it is. Sometimes he lifts us straight out of the things we're walking through. But sometimes it's the strength and the tools to carry on within it. A covering of grace provided to keep walking through. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. And so what I wanted to convey this evening is that the things in Scripture, what we hear of God, what we are told about the gospel, they're not just like nice theoretical concepts, but they're realities that form firm foundations for us to stand upon, especially in times of pressure and stress. They are the realities of God's character and his promises. And woven through the Bible time and time again are reminders and promises that when we go through the valley, he is with us and he will come through. And I think the gospel can become even more real to us when we choose to engage with it. We choose to stand on it in the pressurized and the hard moments of life. And the invitation of Psalm 23 is that in the midst of our moments of stress and of pressure, we can trust God to be with us, we can trust God to guide us, and we can trust God to provide for us. In other words, taking the promises of God's presence, his guidance, and his provision at their word and putting them into practice in the messy complexities of life. I'm also acutely aware that I don't know your situation. I don't know the specifics of what you're walking through right now. But the one thing I do know, and I definitely know, is that God is consistent in his character, and he is unchanging. At the end of Psalm 23, it says, "Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." David recognizes that dwelling with God in the abundance of his goodness and his love is the best place to be. And the best place to position himself. So I'm just going to invite the band up, and I would just love us to kind of take a bit of time to respond to that. And we're going to be still again. There's something about stillness in such a busy and pressurized time of life. And the band will begin playing in a second, but we're just going to kind of remain seated, remain in this posture that we're in. And I'm just going to kind of lead us through a time of prayer just to respond to God personally, and then we'll have some time to pray with people as well, if that will be helpful for you in what you're walking through. So just where you are, why don't you kind of still yourself, maybe close your eyes just to remove the distraction a little bit. And just take a deep breath. Still your mind, still your heart, still your breath, still your breathing. And bring to mind those things that are causing you to feel like this sense of stress and pressure right now. Or if that's not you, if you're in a place that doesn't really feel like that, use this moment to contend for someone that is. Yeah, so just bring that to mind. Bring that situation to God. Bring any pain that you're feeling. And we're just going to ask Jesus to come and meet us in that, really simply, to pour his presence, his guidance, his provision. And so right now, Jesus, we ask you to help us to trust in your presence. In whatever we're walking through, would we know God with us, Emmanuel, the suffering Savior who conquered suffering, with us. Help us to trust that you are with us. And Jesus, where we need to know where to go next, where maybe the path is a bit unclear or hazy, we ask for your guidance. Jesus, would you guide us? Would you show us what the next step is? Would you show us where to turn? Would you show us when to lie down and when to keep going, when to ask for help? Jesus, pour out your guidance over us in this moment. Jesus, thank you that you are a provider. Thank you that you pour out your provision. And so where there's things that we need right now, where there's things that we long for from you, I ask for you to pour out your provision. Even if it looks a little bit different to how we expected, help us to recognize it. Give us eyes to see it where maybe it's been difficult to see it before. Yeah, Jesus, come and pour out your provision now. Yeah, before the service, I just had this sense of, for some people this evening, being like an exhale moment, that maybe for quite a while you've been holding it together or like holding your breath. But actually in this moment, just the invitation of the Father to breathe out, to exhale, to allow yourself to be vulnerable and to meet Jesus there, to be met with the kindness and the compassion of Jesus in that moment. Yeah, so God, we pray right now that we would know you in the stressful and the pressurized moments of life, that you would meet us, that you would guide us, that you would provide for us. But more than anything, we would just know you, Jesus, Emmanuel, with us, right in the epicenter, we pray. Yeah, so come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.